The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com.
Welcome to Misfits Making It. We're oddballs and we're doing cool stuff. I'm your host, Lauren Lojudice. This is the podcast version of the comedy shows I host around New York City and the road, the Misfit Variety Show, and all the shows at the Misfit Comedy Space down in Little Italy. How's it going? What's up in your Misfit world? I've been good. I have two shows this weekend. I have the Not Your Uncle Tony show at Lunella on Friday at the Capiche Club Misfit Comedy Space. And I have the Misfit Variety Show down in Delaware. And Delaware, yeah, I'm bringing the show to Bootless Stage Works. It's like new people, new community, seeing that, like, if we can attract people without anyone knowing me in Delaware, how does that work? And I am more nervous that my mom's coming to my show on Friday. My mom is bringing her boyfriend, and it's a little, the reason why I get nervous is because I talk about being a sperm donor kid on stage a lot, and my mom doesn't really talk about that with anyone ever, and she's sort of in the closet about it. It's something I just found out a few years ago, much to her chagrin, because of a DNA test. They were never going to tell me. So this is new, her coming to a show. She came to one and I did a few jokes and I think she could handle it, but now she's coming and she's bringing other people who I don't think she told, and then I'm going to joke about it. It's kind of like I'm coming out to her as doing stuff on stage about this situation, and she's coming out to other people about the situation happening. So we'll see how that goes. I'll let you know. Crazy stuff in the Misfit world. Now, before we go into our super fun interview, which you're going to love, 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 with Shauna Roxanne of Central Flow, a few housekeeping announcements. Please do rate and review the podcast because Misfits trust other Misfits to know what's good. So it super, super helps us. Also, if you want some updates, you can sign up at laurenlogi.com. We send out monthly newsletter with an episode recap. So stay in the know. You could also sponsor a podcast. We're making it accessible for individuals or company. We just did our first last week, and we have different ways we can make the podcast be in honor of your contribution. So go on laurenlogi.com, click on listen and podcast, and contact us there to talk more about it. One more thing before we talk about the interview for today, we have our podcast community shout out. There are other podcasts out there creating content for Misfits, like Good People, Cool Things Podcast. They talk about things like the inspiration behind board games like Outburst or Taboo, the supernatural. They answer questions like, how come ghosts never have feet? They'll interview someone who has a unique job you never could imagine existed, like the wig master for Broadway shows. And they'll interview bigwigs like the founder of Comedy Central, who will show you what it's like to start your own TV network. If you like hearing interesting stories, you got to check out Good People, Cool Things, hosted by Joey Deld, author, podcast, and guy with a soothing voice. Good People, Cool Things interviews business owners, authors, musicians, and other creatives. They talk about their careers, their worst moments. They offer advice and so much more fun stuff. Now, as a bonus, every episode ends with a corny joke. So, you know, you better be there. Listen and follow at goodpeoplecoolthings.com or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Today, we're interviewing Shauna Roxanne from Central Flow Music. And I came to know them from Instagram. And you don't really hear about people meeting other people on Instagram and things going that well. Like, oh yeah, I bumped into this person on Instagram and they were, wow, such a positive person. And you know what? It happened to me. It happened. The algorithm worked in my favor and brought me someone who I was like, damn, who is this weirdo? I must know them. And so checked out Central Flow Music. And we talk about it in the interview. It's Central Flow Music is so soulful, such a great beat. so like gives you an experience of an emotion. I love them. And also, I haven't seen them yet live, but damn, do they look like they put on a great show. They understand performance and spectacle. So they're people to really watch out for. I think they came out of one album. They have another album coming out. And you're going to love this conversation because you talk a lot about creating and not fitting into any sort of box. I think you out there can identify with this. You don't quite fit in anywhere in any sort of category. You sort of transcend categorization. That's you. And that's Shauna Roxanne at Central Flow. So you're going to love this. Let's give it up for Shauna Roxanne at Central Flow Music.
Thank you, Shauna, for being here on Misfits Making It.
Yes, thank you for having me, Misfits Making It. I love the title of this podcast too, Misfits Making It. That's very much been the theme of my life. So,
well, when I happened upon your Instagram profile, I was like, this is very much in the theme of what we're trying to do and like the people I love to just know and yeah, what I like to support. So, hell yeah.
I love
hell
that. Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate yeah. it. I can't wait till we meet in person one day. I'll get up.
So fun. And you're out in Pittsburgh.
Yes, we are in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's and we're based out of like Ohio too, out of Cleveland, Ohio as well, because that's where like Adam lives.
Got it. Yes, because there's more. There's a Central Flow. There are three other people involved.
Yes, there's three other people in Central Flow. It's mostly me and Adam. Well, I write all the songs. He comes up with the musical composition of it. I'm also the keyboardist, so sometimes I'll send him some chords and I'll say, give me something that sounds sad, and he will deliver every time. So, yeah.
And how did you all meet? Where did Central Flow start? Man.
I like to say Central Flow started in Dallas, Texas, strangely enough, because I had gone out there to meet some friends from online that I had never met before. And it didn't really work out as planned. But while I was out there, I was like, I had spoken to my producer, Samaj Rega. He's a very popular Pittsburgh producer. He's been working with me since I was 13 years old. And I said, dude, I just need somebody that can just strum a guitar. Like, I just have some songs I need to write. And my guitar abilities are not matching up to where I feel like this needs to be, like sonically speaking. So Samaj sends me a bunch of like, you know, people locally that are musicians that he trusts that he feels like would be a good fit for me. And I messaged them, I think right before I went to Dallas. And when I was in Dallas, waking up in my hotel room in downtown Dallas with the sun pouring through the window in the morning, I see I have like missed calls and from Adam. And I'm like, on Instagram, I'm like, why are you calling me on Instagram? Also, like,
yeah, it's a little bit like
the introvert in me is like, I hate phone calls. And why are you calling me? So I'm like, what could be this important? We haven't even spoken yet. And he's just like, look, like, I checked you out. I think you're really awesome. I really want to do this. It's just some things you need to know about some of the other members that you're trying to contact about their, like, you know, reliability and whatnot. And I wanted to talk to you about this in person. So dedication off rip. And I said, okay, well, we'll talk when I get back into town. And we got back and we had an impromptu practice. He called one of his buddies down that could play the bass because we had a drummer there at that time. And we all got together and that's when we were jamming and just came up with Home, which is like one of our singles out from our newest album. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it just came out organically. And then every other song after that came out organically. And yeah, that's pretty much how we came to be.
How many years ago was that?
Oh my gosh. Ooh, 2021.
Okay.
2021 or 22. I think we've been out we're coming up on our second album now. We released our first album last year. So like at the top of last year was when we like began working together.
Really cool. And so you said you've been doing this since you were 13. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Since I was 13. Yeah, I have. I saw Alicia Keys because I was playing piano since I was four. My mom put me in piano to try to get me to stay still, which didn't work.
But
turns out I had ADHD, but like I was later found out about in life. So, yeah, and I saw Alicia Keys and saw that she was, you know, singing and playing piano. I said, I could do that too. Like, what? So I decided this is it. Like, I'm going to get me, I have diary entries from back then. I'm going to get me an agent and I'm going to do this.
What? You're like, at four, at that young, I mean, people are just like, I don't know, dude, playing scales. You were like, no, I'm going to hit it big.
I need to be famous. I need to be, at the time it was Disney. I need to be on Disney.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was very serious about it. Luckily, my mother took it very seriously with me too at a young age. And I got into a program in Pittsburgh called, oh gosh, it's not even around anymore, Hip Hop Unlock. And they got a bunch of like kids together in the studio and taught us about like music business and building an album and marketing. And so at 14 was when I first got in the studio for real and was like, oh yeah, like this is, I want to do this like professionally.
Wow. Wow. And so what does that look like from you from then, from 13, then what was your step?
I don't know. Just winging it, throwing stuff at the wall and hoping that it would stick. I mean, before I just kind of didn't know what to do. I just knew I had, I knew I didn't have many people to do the things for me that I needed to do. So then I learned to produce because of that. I feel a lot of things were born out of, I feel like desperation is not the right word because that has a negative connotation to it.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't have the money as a teenager to get a producer. I couldn't find a producer. YouTube beats weren't cutting it for me. So I just said, I'm going to make my own. And I had to learn how to use FL Studio, a digital audio workstation. And then I'm like, well, I got to make videos. I got to look nice. So then I bought a Canon T3i Rebel and decided I'm going to try to make my own music video and then try to put stuff out there. And I just kept doing it and going back with new ideas in the studio until now. But I was trying to do pop and R&B for a long time. I was trying to be like a pop star, which is very much not me, but I tried.
Well, that's what we were. I was listening to your album another time and met with some friends the other day. We all had a jam session with your album. And one of the questions we were just thinking of, questions and just like what we would love to ask you. And one of the things that came up was like, do you ever feel pressure to do pop?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely do, especially after trying to do it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had the opportunity to work with Richard Engler of DeCesar Engler Productions back in the day. And they used to bring all the big bands to Pittsburgh. And he just was really, he was trying to make me commercial, you know, in a way that would be palatable to audiences and whatnot, which it obviously involved weight loss and some unintentioned, I believe, whitewashing and such. And I never could quite reach that goal. And so it just is something that I really am happy to be in rock, because I feel like in rock, I get to show up as myself.
Mm-hmm.
I get to, whether that's fat, skinny, bald, long hair, half shaven, tattooed, like whatever, rock accepts me the way I am. But when I look at really popular, amazing, incredible artists today, like Lizzo and Doja Cat, mm-hmm. and people like that, and even on a smaller scale, those people who are like getting like viral on TikTok for certain songs and whatnot, it's kind of like really pop based. And so part of me does kind of feel like, oh man, like I feel pressure to try to not necessarily fit into that because I don't want to, but I can't say it doesn't cross my mind whenever I'm doing like content creation or marketing, or when I'm listening to certain tracks. I don't want to do it by any means. I don't want to be pop, but you can't help when that is popular. It's popular music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In America, So, and I'm very capable of doing pop. I still consider myself a songwriter. And I have some bangers I would love to lend to pop artists that are not really my forte anymore. But So I guess I do. I don't know if that answers your question, but like, yeah, I do feel pressures.
It makes sense. I mean, I understand what you mean. I identify because when I first became an actor and a performer, people were pushing me to do like, oh, you should be like, this sexy, tough person. And I'm like, yeah. And then I opened my mouth and I'm like, hey guys, how's it going?
That's me.
Did not work. And like, cause you could do it. Like I could like play the part, you know, I would like bring a comb to like comb my hair right before the audition and a sweater. I'd put on like those, or to play more like all American. Bring a sweater.
Trying to act normal.
Yeah, and then the thing is, like, the camera sees past that.
Oh my god, yes, it does. Absolutely.
And then it's like once there's so much more freedom and just being in the space that you're meant to be in, that it gives you that reason for expression. And it might be harder, but it's still like the thing is sometimes with me at least, like people expect. It's harder for women who are complicated in the performance space, in terms of like acting and performing comedy, because you're complicated. You know, you look one way, but you're giving the another thing, and you like have like five other layers beyond that, especially being queer. And
they want to put you in a box.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then like, I don't want to live in a box, and I kind of am not going to be like this kind of performer or that. It would be nice to be in a box, because then at least it'd be easier to market.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. That's my sentiment. It'd be easier to market, but like, I would be miserable. Right? We would be miserable.
Yes. So. And I think, you know, like we speak to people who, there's so many people who don't feel like they're in a box and they don't feel like part of any sort of one group. And they're just sort of in the middle, like the gray area. And there's just a lot of people like that. I guess it's like, it's harder to reach us sometimes, I feel.
I can see that. It's definitely hard to reach us. And it makes people comfortable whenever they can categorize you as something. And people don't like to be uncomfortable. But they're just going to have to deal with it. And whether we're moving in between being like, okay, yeah, I want to be an all-American actress this day. Okay. But maybe I actually don't know what I'm doing. That gray area you mentioned, or maybe I totally know exactly what I'm doing with this. Either way, I'm existing, and that's valid. And a lot of people need to start thinking like that. I'm human, I'm alive. So I'm valid, you know?
Hell yeah. So. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Also, your music was so refreshing. Is so refreshing.
Thank you.
Because there's like instruments.
There's instruments. What is this new concept? What is this?
I was like, what is this craft?
Like, it's not just a bunch of like beboop. Like, it's not like loops. Like
auto-tuned.
And it loops and auto-tunes. No, I auto-tune. They tried to auto-tune me when I was 16. And even then I was like, I'm not with this shit.
Because your voice is a real voice. It just, you could tell.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Because when I was in pop and when I was in R&B, my voice didn't really suit the music. I had good music and I had good lyrics, but something, it always to me sounded like a demo for another artist. It didn't really sound like me.
Yeah.
And then I started doing Central Flow stuff and I'm like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to sound like. This is me. this is what I sound like. You know, without even like trying to mimic or be somebody else. So
yeah, it all fits. It super fits. And how, like,
thank you.
So you meet Adam, he's super eager. He's giving you like the things that like you're wanting. And then you have to develop a sound. Like, I just don't understand how a band is created, I guess. So when you like, I want it to sound like this.
Yeah.
Or is it like you?
I came in.
Yeah, where does it go?
I stand firm on the fact that I told Adam I want it to be the female Nickelback. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. Everyone loves to hate Nickelback, and nobody has been able to give me a logical, valid reason why.
Yep.
It's a bunch of music snobs that are like, you play the same power chords. I'm not hearing the same chords as a musician. I don't know what you're hearing, yeah. But I hear that they have a cohesive sound. So I've been into like rock like my whole life. I've always been listening to it. Specifically, I love early 2000s and early 90s grunge, mm-hmm. alt rock. Like that's my niche. Like I'm not really a big fan of pop punk. I'm not really a huge fan of heavy metal, but I've been getting introduced to like Tool and the like by my bandmates. So I am digging it definitely. But yeah, so I was like, dude, I want to be like the female Nickelback. And he was like, that fucking sucks. We're going to be better than that. And so, yeah, it just pretty much was us jamming. Luckily, the band that initially started Central Flow is they were a bunch of really talented musicians that are really good at jamming. And the thing that I love about Adam is that he would send me tracks of him just playing guitar for a song. And I would send him back like some words or lyrics. And he was like, wow, like I've had this song forever and I could never think of any lyrics for it until you made it come to life. And I'm like, I didn't even know these lyrics could come to life until you showed me these chords. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of arrangements that echo like Nirvana, Alice in Chains. And Alanis Morissette, that's just naturally a vein that he falls into, along with a lot of Southern blues from his extensive experience and lived life. And I really feel like it was by chance, because I feel like you can get a musician that can like, you know, play you a little bit anything. But as soon as Adam played a chord, my head would jump up. I'd be like, that's it. That's it. Keep playing that. Keep doing that. And then I would get up on the microphone and I would start do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do. Whatever comes out. And the rest of the band would fall in. And then next thing you know, we're like, we liked that. And our drummer at the time would record it. And we would go back and revisit it and say, okay, like we want to flesh this out and make this like an actual like song. So all of our songs came yeah. from jam sessions. Oh
yeah, that's so cool. It's to me, it's like magic. It's magic.
Yes, it is like magic. Like,
I've taken many piano lessons. I'm very good rote, and I could play guitar rote. And then at some point, I realized I was gonna like incorporate it into like maybe like a drag act or a character act or something. And then I realized like I don't have the talent. Like there's something that I don't have I'm not like a passionate musician or the talent, you know, to overcome the lack of talent. Nor do I have the like talent, which is just like this innate, I can sit at this instrument and I get it.
I don't know. I'd argue that no musician ever feels that way. I don't know if you're talking to one that says they absolutely get it, they're a liar and they need to get in a room full of new people.
Well, I guess, you know, when I see and I watch musicians at work and then they hear things and then they like, we'll play it and sort of like flow. Like they get into their flow. Now Pam at the central. They get into a flow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I was like, I don't have that. That's where I feel like yeah. that's I don't have that shit.
No,
but okay. It's all good. It just was so instructive of like that is where that it's where what real talent really means is when you get into a flow state.
Oh yes, and absolutely. Every single rehearsal of composing the music, every rehearsal period was a flow state. Our former rehearsal space was like a stage with all these lights and everything in this big room, so it always felt like a big performance every time we would rehearse. And so of course that brought out like higher levels of energy and passion out of us. And sometimes it's hot as hell and you just close your eyes and you just vibe and flow, like you said, and it just comes out. And a lot of times I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't even remember I did that. Like, you
damn.
Know? So yeah.
Magic, man.
Magic.
And what are your shows like? Cause just listening to your album, we were like, this is a good show.
Oh,
we haven't been to a show, but we know this would be a good one.
Well, I can't wait to invite you guys to a show. Are you kidding me?
Hell yeah.
We got to come out to New York City. Okay.
Hell yes.
Yeah, no, I actually pride myself on our performance and our showmanship. I think I equate it at the same level as our musicianship, but I hold it at a higher tier than my bandmates because I have a musical theater background and I went to performing arts middle and high school for musical theater, and like Rent is like one of my favorite musicals on earth. And so I'm very much like into a killer performance and telling a story. It always has to be a storytelling experience. I get really hype. I get really involved with the audience, really animated. And I do a lot of things that I wish I could do in real life and come off as confident. I could totally relate to what you said by like, people think you're a certain way and you open your mouth and you're like, ah! Like I come across as this like super suave, confident, like mysterious fog witch on stage, and then off stage I'm just like I just really make sure that even our smallest performances with the smallest crowds have been some of our best ones in regards to energy, because those type of crowds don't expect you to come in and play like it's Madison Square Garden, and we do it anyway because everyone deserves to be told a good story. And I've had a lot of people come to me after my shows and thank me for being able to see more queer, Black, Indigenous representation on stage so openly. I talk about mental illness and the battles that I fight with it very openly because I'm trying to fight the stigmas against it. And I'm really proud of where I've come in therapy and my mental health, and music has been a huge part of that. And I got stories to tell. I got things to say because I'm telling you, I'm always down for an adventure. Like, I just randomly matched with somebody on Hinge like 2 weeks ago and drove 4 hours to Virginia and back just to hook up. It was just a story to tell.
Hell yeah. Looking for song coming soon.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Oh. Hell yeah. It makes sense you went to musical theater school because you're so much of what I've seen. I haven't seen you live yet, but it looks like a spectacle, which is
I work very hard to make it a spectacle.
But like, I think that's what sometimes people miss is that like they don't understand. And in comedy too, like they don't understand it's a show. People are leaving their house to be transported, to be, you go to a stage, it's like that ancient art of just going and like, you know, you want to be surprised.
Yes. Yes, exactly. You get it.
Yeah.
So whether I have a budget of $0 or this last project I did with Scale was a 100K budget. So I got to have all damn near the set of my dreams built. Okay. By set design. Got damn near. They didn't give me my car on stage and my pyrotechnics, but regulations said we couldn't do that at the Pittsburgh Playhouse, but it was remarkable. And I'm very excited for that, video. It was a recorded live performance, and that video is going to be coming out in I think November, early November.
Heck yeah.
They're editing it now, so that was super fun, and I really got to focus on my showmanship. Yeah, I'm going to jump off of this box and hit this mark, and then I want the camera to pan down here while I hit this, like, you know. And I was like, oh my gosh, I told them, look at Rent, the opening of it, like the Broadway musical, not the movie. And that's how I want my set to be, just rustic junkyard, rust punk desert wilderness atmosphere.
And this was for a video or like a show that became a video?
It was for the Scale Fellowship, which is the artist residency program that I was a part of this year. And it was the final showcase where we kind of show people what we've been working all year to try to come up with. There was about eight of us. And so they record it with no audience. It's just like live recording. And then during the showcase presentation in November, we have a big event at the, usually it's like Kelly Strayhorn, if I'm not mistaken, theater in Pittsburgh. And that's where we present like everyone's showcases, like on the big screen, and everyone really gets to see it. And
that's so cool.
And I don't know. I am excited about it, but I feel like there's such a dichotomy between performing for cameras and performing for a live audience. Like, so I see the footage, I don't know. Everyone else was blown away, but I was just like, I don't know, because I usually feed off of that audience energy and it can change everything, but I did my best, so.
Yeah, all that stage time too, I feel like when it's time to do stuff for camera, it like seeps in, you know? It's like that muscle memory, you know what it feels like. you know.
So. Definitely. There was some parts where I just kind of zoned out. I was like, okay, every time I'm in a show, I hit this here because the music pushes me to hit this here. So I hit it anyway. I don't know. I feel good about it. So I liked my outfit. I definitely had a stylist for the first time and was like, I want to be gender queer. I don't want to be too feminine. I don't want to be too masculine. I want to be androgynous and like right in the middle. And they were able to do that for me. Unfortunately, I was a little too enthusiastic about my initial stage jump off of the box, and I ripped my leather 1979 vintage pants that they pulled for me. So then they had to put me in a skirt. First of all, Jay, the stylist, was like trying to put safety pins all down the front of them. And then I popped out of them again. It's like, this is not going to work. And they put me in a skirt, which was like medium key disastrous, but the show must go on. You know what I mean?
Yep, yep, so, yep, yep.
I did it anyway. I had on shorts underneath the skirt anyway, because I mean,
yeah,
I don't sit like a lady. I don't move like a lady either. So I was like, but I made it work.
That's super cool. And so you mentioned producer before, and I think this is something that like people understand, like what a movie producer is, a Broadway, and then music, it's a totally different thing.
It is.
What? Tell us about what a producer does.
Well, a producer in music can also mean a couple of different things, but the main thing that a producer does is they produce the track, the music, you know what I mean? So a producer is someone that either creates the track or pieces it together for you. And also your producer can be your engineer as well, which is, in our case, Matt of Very Tight Recordings is our producer slash engineer in that. Yeah, me and Adam actually played the instruments for the second album that we're working on. He played every single instrument for it, and it was ridiculous. It's amazing. But Matt is also an accomplished musician and was able to say, hey, maybe try this here or try a different fill there or these notes. And he would add different sounds and pedals. And then so that makes him also a producer instead of just the engineer, just a person who mixes the knobs and makes it sound. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, because producers greatly affect the sound of a track.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. If you have a shitty producer, you're going to have a shitty track no matter how good you sound.
Yeah.
That's been the case for me a couple of times. So in the past. So,
yeah, spoken with a lot of experience in there and that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And where do you want Central Flow to grow to? Like, where do you see it going in terms of the sound?
I see it becoming, and honestly, in album two, it's a lot more apparent, and I'm really excited to bring that to people because I was able to incorporate a lot of my indigenous mm-hmm. ancestry in the sounds. Buffalo drums. We have like some flute sounds that we put some filters and stuff on. We try new like electronic, kind of almost like a Linkin Park style feel to a couple of them. But more than anything, I was able to do some chanting like I had always seen growing up. My family went to the powwow here every year and danced in it and everything. And I was able to bring that experience onto the track in a way that made sense and made it even more of a storytelling experience. So at first we were just trying to figure it out, but now we kind of have it figured out and we're starting to leave room for experimentation and exploration. I love how there's tribal elements in this album, yet it's still hard Southern rock. And I love that.
Cool. That's super neat. And what tribe is your family from, or tribes?
We are Choctaw and Nottoway, also known as Chironhaka.
Cool. So. And have you been able to play for indigenous communities or in spaces?
I have not been able to play for indigenous communities or spaces yet. But I would love to. I would love the opportunity to. I've danced, of course, like I said, in our powwows before. Mm-hmm. I've never like competitively danced, though. Mm-hmm. But oh my gosh, I would love to. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah. Super cool. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be neat. Super neat. And we have a segment every podcast. It's called Your Misfit Moment. And that is the moment when you knew that the traditional life was not for you.
I love it. I love it here. I love it here. When did I know the traditional life was not for me? God, when didn't I know? You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say at 29 and a half. That's when it started making sense. I always knew a traditional life wasn't for me. Maybe I didn't know it, but I felt it and I just tried to work against it.
Yeah.
I was always that kid that was like in the hallway making beats on the locker, acting stupid, the class clown. I would go to detention, teacher would be like, what did you do now? What did you do now, Shauna? I'm over it. So I was always weird. I was always told I do too much. I play too much. I'm very dramatic. Everyone always used to say, and in a negative way. So then I tried to fight against that my whole life and be normal. And then right around my Saturn return, around 29 and a half, I'm 31 now. But around 29 and a half, I was like, fuck this shit. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do this. I would have gone my very short life so far living for other people. I asked myself, if I die tomorrow, who will I have lived for more, other people or myself? And right now, that answer honestly is other people. And I'm looking forward to the next 30 years of my life changing it to be for me. Because mm-hmm. now that I'm living for myself and in my weirdness and my uniqueness and my misfitness, mm-hmm. it feels so right. It feels so right. No matter how slow things are moving. Yeah, I wish things could be different in certain areas of my life, but this is me, baby. This is not going to change. This is not going to go nowhere. I'm going to grow as a person and always have that character development. But at the end of the day, I'm still that weird ass 13-year-old that I was just like fucking spinning around, sitting in circles in Target the other day like an idiot. I'm 31. I'm like, yeah, that's never going to go anywhere. Because even my grandmother, who recently passed last year she was in her late 80s, but she was goofy all the way to the very end, in bed with dementia. Mm-hmm. The only story she can remember is when she was on stage singing and she can make her titties jump. One, two, one, two. She told that story. She'd be like, I was on stage. I'm like, okay, grandma, like, let's get it. That's going to be me. So it's not going nowhere. And I love it here.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I was just, I interviewed Kevin Aviance a few weeks ago and he was like, people are like, oh, so what are you going to like, you know, are you going to do something different? He's like, no, this is what I do.
Yeah,
this is it.
I did see that you got to interview him. And is that out yet?
That's not out. No, it's all going to debut in September. He's the first interview. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Icon.
So, seeing that you guys got to meet up and do that interview, I'm excited.
Icon. Yeah. Icon. Yeah. So it's definitely music people. It's like people who know him. It's like, oh my God, Kevin.
An icon.
Yes. What do you mean you don't know him? Are you, what box have you been living in? Rock have you been living in?
I don't know. The rock of heterosexuality. I don't know.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. So you were going after Disney stuff for a while, right? You said you wanted to be on Disney.
I did. I wanted to be Raven Simone. And now that she's grown into who she is, I love her even more. I wanted to, I used to apply to like the little like talent seeking things that were actually probably like scams. Mm-hmm. And used to send in like audition tapes. At one point they were looking for indigenous actors to play in the Twilight series to play. Okay. And I sent in a whole like tape. It's out there in the metaverse somewhere on YouTube somewhere probably. Uh-huh. But when you were a teenager, you would either do Nickelodeon or Disney, and that's where you were trying to launch yourself into stardom. Looking back on it, I'm very glad I didn't.
Yes, that's what I mean. That's what I was thinking about. Like, you, that's like such a moment. It's like you want something because you, everyone else wants it. But that's like, would they have ever let you be your full express self?
No, and I wouldn't have been able to live my life experiences that have brought me into this person. Mm-hmm. I also probably would have been far more mentally fucked than I am now. One thing that I realize is that as I get older, my skin got a lot thicker, and there's a lot of things that don't bother me in regards to like internet and trolls and like the things that people say that like when I'm 15 would have wrecked me. So I'm very glad that things are starting to kick up for Central Flow at this time in my life. As much as I grew up thinking I'm going to be too old. You're never too old to do music. I don't know about pop. Well, pop, they have a certain type of look and a certain thing you have to do for that. I don't know. A couple people break that stereotype as well. But yeah, in regards to rock, I feel such a release and a weight lifted off my shoulders of having to compete with time to get somewhere in my life. Because as I get older, my experiences just become better. Mm-hmm. And when I sing about them, I relate to a wider variety of people that I couldn't. Yeah, like I didn't lose my virginity till I was 21. And so I was definitely writing about sex before 21.
Yeah.
You know, like, what the fuck do you talk about? Nobody wants to listen to an 18-year-old talk about the shit, you know, but a 31-year-old, they're like, okay, she's lived through some shit. She knows what she's talking about, more inclined to give it a listen.
Yeah.
In that area and other areas as well. So I only see time and age as an asset to me.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And so in the rock realm, it's more open to people who are just killing it regardless.
Yeah. People who are just killing it. And you don't have to be a household name to make a damn good living performing and having a cult following. And that's also what I love about
it. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's it. Comedy is another place. It's like, if you can make the audience laugh, like, no one cares.
No one cares about anything else. I also don't know how you have the courage to go up there and make people laugh. Because, like, I feel like with my friends, like, I can be funny. But when I go try to tell a joke to people, like, on stage and, like, nobody reacts, I'm like, oh, I hate this. I'm so awkward, like, even on stage talking between shows, because I curse a lot when I'm nervous. I'm like dropping F-bombs every other sentence. And then I'll say something, a little self-deprecating humor of some sort. And then like sometimes it'll land and other times it doesn't. And I'm just like,
yeah, I mean, it's just like all about like loving the bomb.
That has got to take some experience, okay? Did you love the bomb in the beginning?
No, I was so... Well, what changed was doing clown training. And this is not like circus, more like improv on steroids. And it's all about like cultivating the flop. And you... So sometimes I'll like actually... I have a set... where I end with this really silly thing, but I drive a flop on purpose. I torpedo on purpose. I torpedo, and then you come out on the other side.
Wow.
I mean, not everyone's gonna like
it. But you have to be confident in being able to come through on the other side, no?
Yeah. Or maybe that like it won't totally torpedo. Like I've had it more just flatline. That's how I just know that. Like if it flatlines, at least you tried something rather than the blah, 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 blah. Like I'd rather torpedo flatline or do something crazy and it flop than like be mediocre.
Oh yeah. That's a big thing for me too.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to be out here doing it, you better do it at 100% because even if you like fuck up, like at least you will have given it. A lot of people will appreciate the commitment to giving 100% before they'll criticize you if you only give like 50% and you're nervous too, and you show that. So yeah, I've had my wig snatched off on stage before by accident by the mic stand when I was in Dueling Pianos, and I just keep going,
make a bit of it.
And just keep going. Cause like, you know, at the end of the day, people don't even remember the wig snatch. They're just like, that was a killer performance.
So, yep. And it makes you look fierce that you dealt with that, you know?
I didn't think about that. Yeah, when you can recover from stuff like that. The clown school taught you that. That is fascinating.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty, it's wild. I mean, they just, you, it, that's the whole thing. I mean, but I think when people, when you say you say a joke and you bomb, they're just loving that you did it.
I'm too inside myself with the cringe to realize it.
Yeah.
Get outside of myself and my cringe.
Yeah. It's hard. It's so hard to realize. But
I could never be a comedian. Let me just start to, like, I'm not saying I can do this. I'm just like, I'm just fascinated speaking to somebody who does this full time and it's just unapologetically them. And I'm just like, that's incredible.
Well, thank you. Thank you. What you do also, I admire you greatly. So, ditto.
Thank you.
So we have another segment we do called Miss. This is Misspiration, Misfit Inspiration, Misspiration, if you will. This is stuff that, like, when you're in the lulls, what do you use to keep yourself inspired and going? And could be quote, movie, book.
That's a good question. I think an inspiration that keeps me going, because a lot of times I can be, like I said, inside of my head a lot about what I do before I do it. And a quote by Edgar Allan Poe, there is no exquisite beauty without some strangeness in the proportion.
Mm.
I love that quote because it really makes me able to embrace that it's always going to be a little weird and a little off just because that is who I am. And that doesn't have to be a negative thing. A lot of people think that being a little off and a little weird is negative. I did, like you said, I did it. I did my thing and I did it so unapologetically me, you know, and there's always going to be a little strangeness in the proportion. And that's what makes it really beautiful. To the people that get it and the people that don't, well, I didn't want you around anyway. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not weird, you're boring.
Fuck yes. I love it.
Want you as
I love it. That's a clown horn for that one.
I love that. The clown horn.
And the drums. Okay.
I love it.
Cool. All right. So I have a question from one of my characters.
Yes. Ask away.
Oh man. Okay. Hello, Shana. I'm Melania Trump. I come to you. Little do you know, I also I do a little bit of the rap game. I do a rap. Yes, I do. I do a little bit. I rap for get people to vote blue so that I could get out of White House of garbage.
Okay, heard you.
And I won. So there go. I won the election just by my rap game.
By your rap game alone.
Well, obviously, I do the best. So
excuse me, Melania. You did that. You
that's
did
right.
That.
No, it's, I understand. People don't like me, but listen, my life is not like maybe yours or anyone else in any way, except for one. We're both waiting for Donald to die.
Yeah. So, I bet you're happy he's in jail, right?
That's when great. He home, he had that bail money. I thought, oh, what a waste. Okay. So
what a waste.
I thought, ooh, maybe vacation. And then, oof.
Nah, poof, 20K. Now the dream for him.
Then he go, oof. So listen, if I go into that White House of garbage one more time, I don't know what I should do. I will get 50 body doubles before I go in there again. I can't do it, Shana. I need, so my rap game won the election. What kind of, maybe I do rock song. What kind of rock song do you think I should do so that I could inspire people to not vote for him so I cannot go to White House of garbage?
Oh man, that's a good one. Damn, Melania, like, I mean, I don't know what your range is hitting for and all that good shit, but we love a good Chop Suey by System of a Down. Go ahead and kill that and you'll never be seen back.
Chop Suey, so I just do a Chop Suey, get Donald out because he's funny. Donald is the worst. I have to eat, unfortunately, his bratwurst.
See? Oh, God, not the bratwurst, friend. Yeah, you put some real shrill guitars in it, like stepping, like cranking on an amp for the first time. That noise, that'll drive motherfuckers straight out of the White House. It'll be all yours to then sell to somebody else, so you can get the fuck out of there and go off to some country that you want to be in, on an island somewhere.
France, yes.
France, look at you, France. Okay, I'm French too.
I'm French. It's good. They don't judge you about former prostitute, and they have good facial treatments. So
yeah, they absolutely do. They do.
So it's good for me. Okay, great. I'm so excited. I'm going to have a rap. I don't really do sing. I'm more much like rap. I much more just speak the words.
What about some Limp Bizkit?
A limp biscuit. I have to live with one. What do you mean?
Stop! I was saying, you want to do the rock and the rap, get a little Limp Bizkit. It's my way on the highway. Like, you feel me? Hit them with a little
It's Donald's toupee or my, okay, or my layaway, okay, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. You'll get it. You'll get it, baby.
It will be the best. Okay. Okay, thank you so much. Hopefully this all works, or I will need some of that stuff you smoking. Okay, bye, best, bye.
I got you.
I didn't plan it. I was like, who should I bring out? And then I'll know. And
oh,
then I was
my,
like,
God.
Who's my only musician character?
You're so on key. You sound like the people who own the Sunoco around the corner from me. I love your doggy. Very nice doggy. I'm like, okay. That's what they always say to me. Where's your doggy? Very nice doggy. It was giving that. I love it.
Oh, I love it. Be best. Goodness. All right, cool. So, Shauna, where should people come follow you and Central Flow?
Well, the quickest and most direct way to get to us is www.centralflowmusic.com. It's spelled regular, like central and flow. There are no funny little like letters or icons in it or anything like that. We're pretty much Central Flow Music everywhere. On Instagram, we're under Central Flow Music. On what is it, X now? I don't even know if I'm on Twitter anymore. Fuck that shit. You can follow us on X, Twitter, whatever it is now. Elon Musk is a Gemini. We're weird as fuck, just like Trump.
Oh, I'm a Gemini too.
Are you really?
What? This makes sense.
It makes sense. We're all weird.
Total.
But if you go to centralflowmusic.com, you can find all of our socials on there in a nice little place. And if you click the listen button, it'll open up and give you whatever streaming platforms you prefer. So yeah, definitely centralflowmusic.com. And I am under Shauna Roxanne, if you would like to follow me personally, or the other half of Central Flow, which is Adam Stasic, who is under his at name on that and on Instagram too, Adam Stasic.
Okay, perfect. Love it. Well, thanks for stopping by. This is super fun. Yeah, now.
Yeah, and thank you for having me. This was like literally the most fun interview I think I've ever done.
Thank you. We tried.
Yes, you did. Yay. That. I love it.
Well, I'll be at your New York show for sure.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And trust me, it's coming. I'm actually talking to a couple people in New York about trying to get a show together. No promises yet, but literally just been DMing them today. Been in the talks for a few weeks now. So when we have one, you will be the first to know. I promise.
Hell yeah. Fuck yes. Dope. Cool. Well, there you have it. You can follow the podcast on my page at Lauren Logie. Updates and inside info on my email list, LaurenLogie.com. Thank you to Annie McCutcheon for editing, Edward Silla at Radio Misfits Podcast Network, and Maddie McLennan for making the podcast art. Thanks to our listeners for bringing us back for another season. We'll see you soon.
The proceeding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.